Joining me now to talk about last night's primaries and what it all means are Dave Helling from the Kansas City Star. David, good morning.
Great to be here.
And Burdette Loomis, he's a political scientist at the University of Kansas, home of the Jayhawks. Bird, nice to have you, too. Good morning.
Oh, it's great to be here, Steve.
Dave, let's begin with Governor Sam Brownback's performance last night. He defeated an unknown Republican, her name Jennifer Wynn, who, get this, she favored liberalizing marijuana laws. Governor Brownback won by just 63-37%. That means Wynn picked up almost 4 in 10 Republican votes. What do you make of that?
Well, she did very well in Johnson County. I mean, it was an extraordinary underperformance for Sam Brownback in the Republican primary, and suggests the depth of the anger at him from people in his own party. Now, the big question that will have to be answered before November is whether that anger within the Republican Party at Sam Brownback will translate into votes for Paul Davis. And I think that's an open question. I think the Brownback people and everyone I talked to last night, I was out at the Republican Party gathering in South Overland Park. Every Republican you talked to said, A, this is going to be a bitter race. It will be – the Republicans will make an attempt to nationalize the race. The ad's out already. Start with a picture of Barack Obama. By November, we'll know more about Barack Obama than we will know about Paul Davis, probably, because Barack Obama – will, in essence, be on the ballot in Kansas if Republicans have their way. So while the – if this race, Steve, is anybody but Brownback, then I think Sam Brownback is in trouble. If he can make it about Paul Davis, then I think the race is still up for grabs, and we'll see what happens.
Bird, why don't you weigh in here and tell us where Dr. Helling's got it wrong.
No, I think Dave's got it just right. I would have been fascinated to have been at that gathering last night, because on Facebook today, everyone was smiling, et cetera. I can't believe that it was all smiles. In any event, I think that the second figure to look at, aside from the 37%, which is really quite remarkable, is Scott Morgan's 35% running against Chris Kobach.
The Secretary of State, right.
Secretary, he ran as a pure moderate. There was nothing ambiguous about Scott Morgan. He was running as a traditional Kansas moderate. Got 35% of the vote, whereas we don't know where Jennifer Wynn's vote will go, and we don't really know where it came from. In many instances, it was a protest vote. I think we know where Scott Morgan's vote came from. It came disproportionately from moderates and people who didn't like Kobach. I think we're looking at about a third of the Republican Party seriously could vote for Paul Davis. Now, I don't think he'll get all those votes, to be sure, but those votes are available. Those are far more votes, really, than were available, say, to Kathleen Sebelius, who took maybe 15-20% of the Republicans. So I honestly think that Sam Brownback is in difficult straits. Dave's absolutely right about this campaign, and I guess the question for Kansas voters are Kansas voters really going to buy into this 6 years into the Obama administration, when Paul Davis has never been to Washington, has always been a Kansas politician? It'll make for a fascinating and I think really a pretty ugly campaign.
Well, Bird, Dave Helling mentioned this anti-Paul Davis ad that's already airing in Kansas. Again, mm-hmm. Paul Davis, the Democratic nominee for governor. This ad is sponsored by the Republican Governors Association. It's out today, again, one day after the primary. Let's listen to it.
When few supported Barack Obama, there was a liberal Lawrence legislator who believed Paul Davis helped organize Kansas for Obama. Then Davis was an Obama delegate at the Democrat National Convention. And 4 years later, after the failed stimulus, massive bailouts, record debt, a stalled economy, and the Obamacare disaster, Paul Davis was right back at the Democrat Convention with Obama as Obama's delegate. Paul Davis, don't delegate Kansas to an Obama liberal.
Wow. You know, one thing you wonder about right away, Dave Helling, is this notion of why is the ad airing just hours after the polls closed yesterday? Why so quick?
Well, because Paul Davis, is largely still undefined for the voters in Kansas. I mean, I think it's likely that many voters in the state literally don't know who he is. He didn't run a primary campaign. He's from Lawrence.
So your point is, let's tell him who he is now, why the playing field, why the slate's pretty clean.
And the great irony of this, of course, is that Sam Brownback is criticizing Paul Davis for his connections to Barack Obama. But Sam Brownback is running, in essence, an Obama-like campaign, which is, as we saw in 2012, an attempt to make Mitt Romney the issue. You remember all the stuff about Bain Capital and all the sinister ads that ran in that May-June period in 2012 was an attempt by the Barack Obama campaign to, in essence, make Mitt Romney the issue. And it actually worked, in large part because, Steve, in politics, as you well know, when an incumbent is on the ballot, it's almost always to some degree a referendum on his or her performance. And if this turns out to be a referendum on Sam Brownback, he's in trouble. Because I think all of the things he suggested would happen because of his economic programs have not happened. And if this race becomes an anybody but Brownback reaction from the electorate, then he's in trouble. So his only real path is to make Paul Davis the issue. Paul Davis is undefined for most voters. And so the idea would be to hit him now, hit him early, hit him aggressively. He's just like Barack Obama. And that seems to be where the Brownback people think their path lies.
You know, Burdette Loomis, the ad is accurate. I mean, Paul Davis does have these tangential ties to President Obama in terms of the positions he held as a delegate, you know, that kind of thing for the president.
But it's not accurate in terms of a failed stimulus. Most economists would argue the stimulus was a moderate success. The bailouts came from George Bush's administration to begin with. And so, you know, it really does bend the truth on those issues. Of course he was a delegate. Everybody knew that from the beginning, that this was going to be, you know, Lawrence liberal. So that's accurate, and everybody, and I think many Democrats worried about that. At the same time, the flip side of Davis being somewhat undefined, I think, is a little less so than Dave might think, but still being quite undefined. Brownback is very well defined. In the Survey USA poll, 99% know who Brownback is, and you have had this. I don't think a governor's had a worse 6 months of news. Culminating today with another bond downgrade. So you've got someone who is well-known and apparently not very well-liked.
You know, Bird, Dave Helling just said the Republicans he was talking to last night at the Overland Park Marriott were many of them saying this race is going to be bitter between Brownback and Davis. You expect that as well? Does that just go without saying these days?
I think it's bitter and attack-oriented from the Republican side, as this ad demonstrates. Now, you know, how bitter it will be, from the Democratic side, I don't know. In some ways, they've got to, you know, separate out Paul Davis, who, you know, I've known for a long time, and I think even Republicans think is pretty much a nice guy. If you can convey that while pushing the emphasis back on the Brownback record.
Yeah. Bert, how does Paul Davis, though, answer the Obama charge, if you will? He's clearly got to come up with an answer in the next 90 days.
I think he says I'm running for governor of Kansas. I've never been in D.C. I mean, I've gone to D.C., but I'm not a Washington politician. I'm a Kansas politician. I've been here all my life, and I'm working for Kansans. You know, in some ways, you can't if it's going to be Obama and you morphing into Obama for the next 3 months. That's what it's going to be. My question is, does it work? And the other thing is that Davis has been very successful at fundraising. I think that there's going to be substantial outside Democratic money coming in. So I don't think Davis is going to have a hard time getting his message across.
Well, he's going to have to start fairly soon, isn't he, Bird, to get started and to get to Dave's point to counter what Governor Brownback's doing here?
I, I, I would defer to the to his campaign experts, but I would certainly agree with you that he's got to be up. And my bet is that will occur fairly quickly.
Well, I would bet as well.
He didn't have to spend any money in the primary. Brownback didn't, I don't think, spend much money himself, but had $500,000 spent on his behalf, and still came up with 63% of the vote.
Yeah. Dave, let's jump over to the Missouri side of the state line just for a second here. The proposition last night for a 3/4-cent sales tax for Missouri highways. It was also to be used to expand I-70. The thing went down in flames, defeated 59-41%. And you wonder how the state will ever come up with a way to fund highways in Missouri. The sales tax has been rejected. Lawmakers don't want to raise the gas tax. Tolls appear to be completely off the table. So what is left?
Well, nothing. I mean, if you don't do fuel taxes, you don't do sale. I mean, I suppose. You could carve out a little of the income tax, but that doesn't seem likely. What is left is for the politicians in Missouri, and I think this applies in Kansas too, to spend some real reflective time over the next couple of weeks to try and fully appreciate how angry voters are at government. At all levels, both parties, I don't think in my, and I've been covering politics now for 35 years, I don't think I've ever seen the public as disgusted with government as it is now. And I think you saw that in spades in Missouri and Kansas yesterday. There's a reason why Pat Roberts got 48% of the vote in that primary. Part of it was Milton Wolf's campaign, but part of it was because people are just really angry at government. And in Missouri, we saw that in the ballot measures, Streetcar, Amendment 7, anything with a dollar sign attached to it lost. We're not giving you any more of our money, period.
That's a fair point. But as you know, as well as I, Missourians have been rejecting propositions for transportation going back years and years.
Yes, no question about it.
And it's almost the state just seems it can't wrap its arms around the idea that it may cost more money to keep up roads and bridges.
No question. And that is a unique – I mean – let's face it, Missouri has refused to raise the cigarette tax as well. So, you know, the anti-tax fervor is alive and well in the state of Missouri. But I guess what I'm suggesting is people are really losing faith in their government at all levels, it seems to me, to a degree that I'm not used to. And until that question can be answered, things like streetcars and transportation improvements are going to be less likely than ever to pass voters muster. When Tim Huell's camp comes as close as he did in Kansas to losing a primary, when the governor does 60% against someone like Jennifer Wynn, I think it's Jennifer, whatever.
Jennifer
Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
That is a vote of no confidence in the government. And I think we saw that in Missouri and Kansas, and I think it is an enormous challenge for both parties to figure out how to get that trust back.
Burdette Loomis from KU, this anger that Dave Helling is talking about, are you seeing it the same way?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's not just in these two states. It's more across the nation, and honestly, it's international. I work with someone in Australia, and we're talking about the decline of trust in Australia, a place where people generally like their government. So I do think that's the issue. The other thing they're going to have to reflect on seriously, and I don't know what happens. Kansas has historically, for example, supported roads. The roads are pretty good. But if you have this increased revenue decline, where do you go? You go to roads for a while, then particularly you go to education. And you know, I think that the storyline on the far right is often it's not a revenue problem, it's a spending problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the issues in Kansas is a fear that a good education system is going to be gutted in one way or another.
Dave Helling, going back to the Missouri side and this transportation tax, Governor Jay Nixon at the Star's editorial board last week, we were both there. No question, trying to sort this transportation thing out is going to be a real leadership test for him midway through his second term.
And many people in Missouri blame Jay Nixon specifically for the loss of the transportation tax because he put it on in August. giving them less time to mount a campaign and explain it, and B, because he came out against it. I mean, he literally said vote no, which has some sway with some voters. Whether that's, whether Jay Nixon believed that on its merits or because he believed it was another way to poke a stick at the Republicans in the legislature is not completely clear to me.
Because you could argue that moving this proposition, the same idea, to a November ballot when far more Democrats and independents vote will give the thing a far better chance.
And it would have given the typical coalition around taxes for roads to build, the builders, the construction unions, cities saying, hey, look, we can get new buses or new roads, new sidewalks or whatever, that there just wasn't enough time to put that together. And, Jay Nixon knew that. I mean,
yeah.
It's not as if he just said, well, August sounds like fun to me. I mean, he wanted it to lose. So how he now goes back to the legislature and says, let's put something together that will win, I don't see that. It may take years. It may take a different governor to get it done.
We're talking about last night's primary results in Missouri and Kansas. Bird, back to Kansas, three-term incumbent Senator Pat Roberts managed to pull off a workmanlike win last night over Milton Wolf, 48-41%. How big a deal is this, given Wolf's allegiances to the Tea Party?
Well, the national press is playing it up as it's one more victory for regular Republicans against the Tea Party, and that's certainly fair enough. And pretty clearly, Pat Roberts is the favorite, far more so, for example, than Sam Brownback in the fall. That said, 48% is really remarkable. I mean, you've got not only Wolf, but you had two other candidates on the ballot. If 63% for Sam Brownback was a problem, the repudiation of over half the Republican electorate of Pat Roberts is remarkable. And so the question that follows on, of course, is there any way that opponents of Roberts in the general election, whether it's the Democrats or independent Greg Orman, can take advantage of this? And, we'll just have to see. Certainly a three-way race, Roberts almost certainly wins. But if one of those candidates drops out, which I think is perfectly possible, I don't think that Roberts is necessarily a complete shoo-in.
Dave, just give me 30 seconds on a final topic today, the streetcar vote in Kansas City. Mayor Sly James has just arrived in the studio. He'll be here in just a second to talk about this. 60% of voters rejected the expansion of the system last night. Just briefly, what happened?
Well, I think that the funding mechanism was not popular. The idea of streetcar was not popular in the new places that it would have been built in. The idea of targeting the taxes just to those who benefit from the route, I think a lot of people oppose. But let's face it, Steve, you and I have covered election after election in Kansas City in which fixed rail transit has lost.
Yeah.
General sales taxes, TDDs, you name it. You just get the sense that it's a bridge too far in the immediate future for the people of Kansas.
We're going to leave our conversation right there. I want to thank the stars, Dave Helling and KU's Burdette Loomis. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in. Always good to have you here.
Thanks, Dave.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Kansas City's Mayor Sly James joins us. We'll talk about the future of streetcars in Kansas City. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. Well, last night, Kansas City voters south of the river rejected a plan to expand Kansas City's streetcar system. 6 in 10 voters said no to the idea. Joining me now to give us a sense of where we go from here is Kansas City Mayor Sly James. And Mayor, thank you for coming in.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Always good to have you. Were you surprised by the magnitude of the defeat last night?
Yeah, I was a little bit, to say the least.
I was too.
I just didn't. Nobody, I don't believe, saw that coming. But I think that we... not being able to be on television hurt to some extent and get the message out that we wanted to get. But, you know, that's the way it goes. I think the voters spoke and said what they wanted to say.
You know, critics kept calling this thing a boondoggle. And you say what when you hear that word?
Well, I think it's always easy when you're being negative to call anything anything. The reality is that experience around the country and the world has shown us the value of rail transit. The economic development is real. Downtown is real. Things are happening as a direct result of it. And, you know, it's easy to call it a boondoggle when you're not dealing with facts. And the facts are that this could have had a serious economic impact on people and the places where they live, work, and play.
I guess the big question on the table today and looking forward, Mayor, is where do we go from here? I've heard you say publicly that no other elections are on the table, at least as of today. Where do we go?
I don't know. I think what we'll probably do is I think we ought to wait and see what happens when the downtown starter line is up and running. I think that's going to have an impact on how people view this. I think it's difficult sometimes when you actually haven't seen something, experienced it, or see the results of having it in place to actually visualize how it might help. So I think we'll wait and see what happens when the downtown line is up and running. And as we do that, we'll be looking for other opportunities to expand. I don't think that it's prudent to leave it as it is. I think that ultimately we need to address this issue in some way, shape, and or form. Proud of the fact that we at least have a start, but it can't be a finish.
You know, in hindsight, was it premature to try to expand the system and call for a vote before Kansas Cityans had already seen how the thing is how it looks and how it works?
It was a calculated risk and a bold and aggressive plan. We felt like we could not count on the federal government to be anything that we could predict. So we thought that we'd be better off going with an administration and a theory and a thought process and priorities that we knew about where there was money actually being used, as opposed to waiting to see what happens in 2016. Federal government is extremely unpredictable and volatile, so we don't know what's going to happen after that election. State government has its own issues, so cities are pretty much left to their own devices anymore. So we thought that we would be better off trying to take advantage of the situation we do know rather than wait for one that we don't.
We're visiting with Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Sly James. Mayor, as you look back at the configuration of the expanded system that you proposed to voters, taking it out to UMKC or almost to UMKC, running it east along a couple of different routes, is that the right way to go, or would you change it now going forward?
I don't believe I would change it going forward, but then again, I'm not an engineer. I don't want to change it based on the vote necessarily, because we have to do things going east into the city. We have to connect the urban core to downtown. That's what we were trying to do. I don't know how else to do it except to have lines going east. We need to go south. There's going to be 15,000 people working out at Cerner in 10 years. Those 15,000 people will be closer to highways than they will to transit in this city. It will be easier for them to get on a highway and go to Lee's Summit, go to Blue Springs, go to Overland Park or Leawood and live there rather than to live in the core of this city. If we connect the city, then I believe they will live, more of them will live in Kansas City proper, which is what we want. We need to increase our population base, and that's certainly one way to do it. Project by Mr. Stowers is out in that same area. They're going to need to be connected, too. If we continually rely on highways as our mode of transportation, then we're going to have people scatter to the four winds because they can and they will. What we really need is something that will entice them to stay in the core of the city so that we can continue to build.
What is it, Mr. Mayor, about mass transit and fixed rail in this community that has been such a hard sell for so many years? A lot of folks, you know, write it off to just the notion that we are a car town, pure and simple. Let's not try to be something else. Why is this such a tough nut for this city to crack?
You know, I wish I knew, but I think that we particularly find change very difficult to take. There's, you know, I hear every day how much people don't like some things, but I hear even more frequently how resistant they are to change. You know, what my experience with Kansas City is that we do ultimately change, but only years after other areas of the country have changed, and we're always behind. This was an attempt to be bold and to catch up and to do something that would make sure that we were able to compete. I will go back to what I've said all along because I still believe it. We are competing for the number one commodity, and that's talent. And talent is not going where it used to go simply because it's a nice place to live. They want things that they want. And that is a lifestyle change. There are certainly more people riding bikes on the street than there ever were before 10 years ago. There are more people who insist on walking and hiking than there ever was before. 10 years ago, nobody wanted to live downtown. Now, there's 30, 25,000 people downtown, and we can't build apartments fast enough. So things do happen. They just happen slowly here, and it's hard to convince people of what's going on elsewhere. Somehow, I think folks think that we're impervious to some of the things that sweep the country, but we're really not. We're just last on the list in a lot of instances.
So in your view's not changing. We've got a 2.2-mile starter line being constructed right now. We've got to continue. We've got to continue going forward to get this system, a broader system in place.
Well, yeah, we do. We can't stop. I mean, if we stop, then we start falling behind. And one of the things that we needed to do was to start. So we started. Now we have to figure out how do we continue this process down the line. Voters were not ready to do that last night, and I understand and respect that. Sometimes bold versus status quo loses, but you know, I'm not going to be sorry, not going to apologize for trying to do something bold for this city, primarily because I believe heartily in the quality of this city and that it can be a city that is on the world stage. I believe that will eventually happen, and we're going to have to figure out a way to get it done.
I'm visiting with Mayor Sly James. Mayor, just one final question here.
Sure.
You know, the configuration of this vote, this was a two-step process. Last night was to set up a taxing district. The vote in November was to be on actually raising taxes to pay for this new streetcar system. Again, is that the right way to go? Should this be a citywide vote on something this significant, or is that simply not feasible given the politics of how something like that might shake out?
I don't think it's feasible. And I'll tell you why, because one of the things that I know and I've heard is if it comes to the rail, to the airport, I'll vote for it. If it goes to my house, I'll vote for it. If it goes to the plaza or wherever, I'll vote for it. But if it doesn't, then I won't. So then the only way to do this is to try to build it all out at one time. And that is something that people talk about sticker shock. They'd have sticker shock about that. So I wonder how, if they won't accept an incremental build out, how they would accept a complete build out that would be, we wouldn't be talking about $400 million. We'd be talking about $5 or $6 billion.
Or what about just the idea of having the entire city vote on the proposed expansion as it was laid out last night? Having Northlanders vote on something in the core of the city.
Well, if that were the case, the tax certainly could have been lower.
Right.
On the other hand, the history of this city in terms of voting for rail has rejected that premise almost every single time. It's really, if it doesn't come to my house, I don't want to pay for it in some people's minds. I don't know what the right approach is. I know there has to be one. Other cities have struggled with this. We still have people calling us, asking us how we do things, and we'll call them and ask them how they do it as well. But we're going to continue to look for a way to get this done. It may take some time. I can't tell you when it's going to happen, or even that it possibly that it definitely will. I believe it will, because I think that one thing that we do know is that roads and bridges are the most subsidized form of transportation. People don't want to pay for that either. So something's got to give. I mean, these things don't fix themselves, and people don't drive around on air. Concrete has to be fixed, and transportation options have to be developed, and that's what we're trying to do.
That's Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Sly James. Mayor, always good to have you here. Thanks for taking some time to come in the studio today.
Thank you, Steve,
appreciate
and good
it.
To see you.
You bet.